Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patty LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shana Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shana Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com.
Hello, I'm Jesse McAnally.
And I'm Andrew DeWolf.
And I'm Liz Esten.
And welcome to Musicals with Cheese, a podcast where I try to get Andrew and Liz like musical theater. Gabagool. I don't know.
I'm not gonna attempt the accent.
No.
You know what?
No, but no one will marry me. So, like, what the fuck's going on with my life?
Well, Andrew, you want to place a bet?
Oh yeah. What are we betting on?
That Liz will get married eventually, and I'm putting $1,000 on it.
All right. Well, I will. Wait. Should I? Do I take that bet? That's mean. Isn't that mean to take that?
I've been in a relationship for a long time. It's not that mean.
Well, if I took the bet, I would be betting that you won't get married, right?
Oh, yeah, that is me.
Wow. You know, this musical really makes you think about empathy, doesn't it? And other people's autonomy.
How about this, Jess? How about
this?
All right. I bet that if I win this dice roll, you have to go to church.
What?
You just actually spit that on your floor, didn't you?
Like, no joke.
You just did an actual spit take. He has to go clean that up. There's a rug in there.
There's a rug in that room. I have a hardwood floor.
Comedy. You missed out on that one if you weren't on Patreon. This week, we are talking about the classic musical, Guys and Dolls. Cue the music.
Stick with me, baby. I'm the fellow you came in with. Luck be a lady. Luck be a lady. Luck be a lady tonight.
Luck be a lady tonight. Luck, if you've ever been a lady to begin with. Luck be a lady tonight.
So let's talk about Guys and Dolls. This is one of our most requested episodes, so fucking sit up straight, kids. We better not fuck this one up.
Oh boy.
We're rolling the dice on this one.
Yeah, we really are.
For context, Andrew and Liz both watched the 2009 revival version. I watched that as well as the Frank Sinatra, Marlon Brando movie, which I love watching the old movies. I feel like I tend to fall on the sword for that one a lot, but I really do get a kick out of watching these old films from the beginning of, you know, the 20th century. I think the film's pretty fun. I'm not going to lie. Part of me was like, damn. I should have just had them watch this. This is goofy.
It sounds good. It's got Frank Sinatra and Marlon Brando.
Yeah, we watched
in it.
A bunch like, of it... British people try to be Italian.
Yeah, that's what we watched.
Yeah. You can tell they're trying to be slowly becoming English periodically. It's like, fuck, I'm Italian and I'm an American. Fuck.
Mamma mia.
There are real Italians, but it's just interesting how very little fuck Sinatra's giving throughout the entire film. He looks like he lost a bet to be in that film. Where Brando, I won't say that he's putting too much paprika on the meal, but he's definitely, he's been, okay, I've heard the stories of Brando in this role, like where he's like, he's so miscast, he's like Russell Crowe bad. No, he is not. Yes, he is not as good as everyone else. No, he is not a professional singer. But damn it, if the energy and vibe isn't there. For Sky, like, he fits because he's just, like, too cool for school, and he has that movie star, like, I can fuck whoever I want vibe to him, and it's fine. Yeah, Marlon Brando's probably a real asshole in real life. See every interaction anyone's ever had with him for that.
Okay, these two hated each other, apparently.
That makes sense.
Because apparently they were both up for the lead on the Waterfront, and Sinatra lost the lead on the Waterfront.
Good.
Was that before they filmed the movie?
Yes.
I think so it was before. Yeah. That's why.
Oh my God.
Sinatra,
so they hated
was
each other?
Like, I don't like you.
And they cast each other as like co-leads. That's ridiculous.
I will say, as co-leads, they don't interact very much. They kind of have their own stories going on, and then they kind of meet up for like that final scene.
But here's a quote here's a quote from a critic. Sorry, Andrew. Here's a quote from a critic about what Joe Mankiewicz heard of Frank Sinatra say of Brando in rehearsals. Quote, "When Mumbles is through rehearsing, I'll come out."
Mumbles.
Mumbles.
He does mumble through the songs. Can't even disagree with that.
Oh my God.
God. Sorry, I just want to dive into that lore for a minute.
I was charmed a little bit by Brando as Sky. Like, he's this kind of enigmatic weirdo that wanders into the movie out of nowhere. And
okay, who is Sky to Nathan? Like, is it, are they just
what's
gambling
their
buddies? Is that it?
I think it's more of a person he's heard rumors about. Like, you know, like a local celeb, like not someone you've actually spoken to or hung out with. But it's like, I heard that guy once bet on raindrops.
So it's just like a famous local gambler, and that's about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think he's just kind of a well-off local guy that bets on weird shit. Like, we all had, like, that weird person in local, like, oh, he walks up and down the street every day for no particular reason and screams at bats. Like, there was always that kind of person, and he's like, well, I'm in a bind, so I'm going to talk to this fucking weirdo.
Okay, so we gotta say the plot here.
Yeah, the plot.
Go for
even though
it,
this
Andrew.
Is from 1950 and everyone probably already knows it, but we're gonna explain it. So there, as we've already said, there's two guys. There's Nathan and there's Sky. Mm-hmm. Nathan runs a craps game, but he needs a location for it. I think either the old location is now charging him $1,000 or. Lost the old location and
he
needs
he
a new
got
one.
Run out by the law from the old location, and he's able to find this new place that's willing to take the risk, but they want $1,000 to take that risk.
Yes. So he needs $1,000 to pay, and he doesn't know how to get it. So what he does is he goes to this other guy to bet that he can take this very uptight religious girl out on a date, because I guess he thinks that that's a surefire bet. I mean, he does fail, but okay. So that's like the main two guys and what they're trying to do.
Well, I think you should bring up Nathan Detroit's wife.
Oh, Nathan.
Or
yeah. So the two women are also leads. There's like four leads to this essentially. If you could kind of look at it that way.
Well, we can break it down into two categories, the guys and the dolls.
It's true. It's it's in the fucking title.
Yeah, literally.
So Nathan Detroit's fiance, Adelaide, which I couldn't stop thinking about fucking Over the Garden Wall.
To Adelaide, Adelaide, come on and join the Adelaide parade.
On the way to Adelaide,
That's the only place I've ever heard that name.
I was thinking of the Blake Lively movie, Age of Adelaide, the whole time.
No, that's Age of Adeline.
I know, I confused Adelaide while I was thinking about it.
Okay, but Adelaide, she wants Nathan to stop gambling and marry her.
Because you can't do both, apparently.
There's a lot of fun stuff that happens because apparently she has been lying to her mother the entire time. And saying that they already are married, and also
and
they have
five
kids.
Five children.
And also he works at some place as an assistant manager. And all this stuff. And I guess they're going to see the mother soon, and like they have to figure out how to do that. I don't even... There's some weirdness there.
And he was going to say, like, how am I supposed to tell my mother we're married? Backdate the letter! 14 years!
And when they do get married, she's like, it doesn't take too long to have 5 children. We got to get started.
Holy fuck.
Like, this is a proper comedy and all that. And I know there's some iffy, like, gender politics playing around here. But my God, Adelaide is such a fun character. And every time she is on stage, I am thrilled and overjoyed. And that being said, I don't mind Sarah either.
So Sarah is kind of, she's sort of uptight-ish, but her whole thing is she is a missionary of sorts.
Yeah.
She wants to convert sinners, specifically sinners. She doesn't want to just find any people on the street. She wants the worst of the worst of the sinners. And she ends up getting what she wants because Sky, through meeting her and actually falling in love with her, because obviously this is a fucking musical, what did you think was going to happen when they make a bet to go on a date? Like, come on.
I want one so time actually, for it to actually just go badly. Oh, shit.
So Sky actually falls in love with her, and he goes and he gets all the gambling group to go to her mission at the
end. Don't forget, she actually falls in love with him, too, after he gets her drunk without her knowing.
Yes. So
don't do this, there isn't, like, people at home.
There isn't, like, a lot else that happens. Like, most of the story is just this stuff kind of happening, like, for 2 hours.
And, like, it goes fast, though. It, like, a lot of shows we watch, especially older shows.
Oh, it doesn't drag. I'm not saying
like
it drags.
They
it doesn't
go
feel
on
slow.
Forever. And this one just moves.
Yeah, no, it's quick, but there's not a lot of plot. Like, there's not a lot of, like, events that happen. It's just kind of, there's scenes where people talk about their relationship and they fall in love and blah, blah, blah. And that's about it.
The best version of the show is the 1992 revival starring Nathan Lane as Nathan Detroit. And that is where Nathan Lane got his name from, is from Guys and Dolls. He took the name Nathan because he just liked it.
Wait,
what's his actual name?
I'm about to find out, but I know his birth name is not Nathan Lane. Joseph Lane is his true name. And he
Wait,
took the
for
name.
Real?
Yes.
That's so funny.
That's
incredible.
And you know who else was in that show with him as just like one of the guys? I believe it was the one that isn't nicely.
Matthew Broderick?
No. J.K. Simmons. Oscar Award winner J.K. Simmons. There's
the
this
yellow
wonderful
Eminem himself?
Yes.
They can concentrate on the game. The town's up to here with high players. The Greeks in town. Randy Bottle Bates. Scranton Slim.
I know, I could make a fortune. But where can I have the game?
And there's this wonderful documentary about the making of the album. And you just see J.K. Simmons belting out these songs. And we all know what his voice sounds like. But he's using the upper register, which you don't really hear him use much, to sing these songs. And he looks the fucking same as he always has. Like, not 30 years later, looks almost identical. And it's just, you recognize him right away. The 92 production is the best production, if you're asking me. And sadly, there's no real recordings of that one, except for, like, the album, which is great. The problem with this is the plot is light, but every other song is a banger that you've heard 900,000 times before in your life.
This is one of those, like, older musicals. And I feel like with older
musicals,
It's very common for, like, all of the songs to just become these pop staples. I think it's because of the way pop music was done back then, where, like, you would have the musical, and then there would be somebody who makes a cover of the songs, and those become really pop. Like, we don't do that anymore. Like, when a modern musical comes out, there isn't, like, a pop version that also releases on the radio. At least not often.
See, you got a couple. Like, okay. Ariana Grande was famous for doing that. Like, she did a cover of Popular from Wicked, and now she's starring in Wicked. And she also did My Favorite Things, which became a very popular version of
She sampled
Sound of
My
Music
Favorite
is, like,
Things.
Old,
I don't know if she covered it.
She covered it in that, I believe. But Popular was very much a cover of Popular.
Yeah, but that's one example out of...
And Jason Robert Brown wrote her a song for her album called Jason's Song, because, you know.
Jesus fucking
Christ.
Yeah,
she didn't, she never sang my favorite thing. Seven okay. Rings is the same iteration of it. It's like, it's an entirely different song because she raps through half of it, so.
But I guess that's a new cover of musical theater songs is sampling them, because yep. Then you have Gwen Stefani with If I Were a Rich Girl, na 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 na. Like, would that's, you?
Is that the sample or is that like a remix?
Or like a reinterpretation or something?
Reinterpretation?
Is that the word?
Oh, whatever legally is allowed. But you're right. We don't see like someone doing a cover of Touch Me from Spring Awakening and it hitting the top 50 Billboard charts. Or surprisingly, I think Ring of Keys would have been a popular one to do covers of, and no one has done it.
Renee Rapp, get on that.
Renee Rapp, do a bunch of musical theater covers.
Yeah.
Or
it's
don't.
Just not the way pop music works anymore.
It's a different system.
Yeah, like, back then, you would get like a lot of like famous covers of these music theater songs, and they would just get huge. And now, like, they're just in the zeitgeist. Like, everyone just knows them. Like, they just, those are just songs that just exist.
Because they just hop onto TikTok as is, and then they don't need to be reinterpreted. It's like, it's already popular as is. That's how Six got so big.
Well, currently what's trending is a fucking song from Shrek the Musical, which is wild, and that's trending outside the musical theater world.
Which one?
I know it's today where it's like, are you there?
One.
God, it's me, Fionn. I hear that at least 45 times when scrolling through TikTok.
Really?
It might be my algorithm, but.
Well, you won't be hearing it much in 6 months, so that's okay.
I mean, A, just because trends, you're right. And B, because the government voted to shut down TikTok because, oh my God, China's deciding our elections. No, we rig our own elections. Speaking of rigging our own elections, let's compare our opinions to those of the theater critics from the New York Times. It's time for previews.
It's time for previews. It's time for previews.
Ben Brantley, we love him. We respect him. He has never had a bad opinion ever.
So, can he say mean things about something like Guys and Dolls? I feel like he can't.
Yes, he can. Because all you have to do is insult the current interpretation and not the art itself.
Oh, so just be directly mean to only the people that made the revival.
Yes, which is kind of what he did here. So let's take a look. This is from his review of the 2009 revival of Guys and Dolls by Ben Brantley. Certain words in certain contexts are best left unspoken, and Des McDuff's uninspired new revival of Guys and Dolls of the Nederlander Theater, that word happens to be chemistry. It is dropped with a thud and a shatter and hovers for the rest of the evening like a neon-lighted reproach. Chemistry, says Sarah Brown, Kate Jennings Grant, the rigid Salvation Army officer with a drop jaw and a gotta-be-kidding italics. She has just been told by the handsome gambler, Sky Masterson's Craig Bierko, that the love is something that can't be planned or anticipated. Miss Brown is having none of this radical concept. Oh, Sarah, Sarah, I do so know where you're coming from. Chemistry is something you don't understand until you experience it, with all the attendant happy chills and dizziness. And honey, there ain't no chemistry in your show. Not between two pairs of leading lovers, or between the singers and their songs, or the actors and their parts.
Yes.
It, man.
He went full Drag Race there at the end. Honey, you don't know chemistry if it bit you on the ass.
This feels kind of rude.
This is just legitimately rude.
This interpolated material has the effect of putting us distancing frame around everything that follows. The emphasis on concept over character, a fatal mistake with Guys and Dolls. No wonder everybody looks so ill at ease. They've been straitjacketed by quotation marks.
What?
That's a classic. That's a classic Ben Brantley. What the fuck are you talking about, man?
Straitjacketed. So is he saying they're trying to be too faithful?
They're too close to the script, so they're not like going outside of it. Like,
I wish he would just say what he meant.
Yeah,
you know,
literally,
so, like, at least once.
Be direct.
Sometimes he does. Sometimes I feel like he just doesn't know what he wants to say, so he says words on a page. Because sometimes he does give really good, thoughtful, and clear reviews, and other times, it's just gibberish.
Should we talk about just, like, the vague gender politics
yeah,
in the show?
Probably.
Just, like, vaguely mention it?
Go for it, Andrew. All yours. Ball in your court.
I don't have, like, a lot to say, because I don't really think I know, but I can just sense it from watching it, that there's, like, a very kind of... It's like almost a subconscious sexism to the show. Nothing is overt. Like, there's no, it doesn't feel overt, but there's this, like, just kind of boomerism to it, you know? Or you could just tell there's like an underlying sexism in there at some level.
There's a very big take my wife, please, and oh, I wish I didn't have to get married, or you tricked me into getting married. Like, the main conflict for Nathan Detroit is he does not want to marry the woman he's been engaged to for 14 years.
Yeah, which is like, and he's not even like, he's framed as like wrong, but not that wrong. Like, it's not like what he was doing is that bad, you know? It's just kind of like, he needs to change his mind.
It's like an Al Bundy, like, you get it, fellas, don't ya?
Yeah, it's just like, I don't think I get it.
why would you want to marry this woman that seems lovely?
Well, when we first meet her, like, one of the first things she's like, we're engaged, Nathan, we gotta get married. And then, like, it's immediately read as annoying to the audience, and he's in the right because we've already met him. It's like, oh, how dare this woman beg for marriage when they've been engaged for over a decade? Like, come on, like, what's wrong?
It's literally like, take my wife. Please, oh my God.
Please, oh my God. Oh God, I don't want to marry this bitch, but I don't want to tell her.
And they don't unpack that, and they don't unpack the very obvious crippling gambling addiction everyone has.
They tackle it. They all get over it by going to church.
Yeah, oh, yeah, God. Yeah. God saves the day.
Yeah, they sing that one song, and then everything's fine. They don't want to gamble anymore.
And also, it turns out that gambling can be good, because he gambled to get them to go to church.
And he gambled
to get the girl.
He gambled for love, so we got a wife out of it.
Yeah, so really, gambling is the hero here.
Yeah. Everyone should gamble for love.
Just like Molly's game, gambling saves the day.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that any of these, like, things ruin it or anything like that. It's just kind of like an undertone that's just, like, there. You know? You can just, like, this was made in 1950.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, sorry, Liz.
Oh, you're fine. You go ahead.
Well, I think it's time for the best part of the show. It's time for the Letterboxd game, 1 star, 5 star, where Liz picked out and curated real Letterboxd reviews of the Guys and Dolls film, and we have to guess, based on the review alone, whether they're a 1 star or a 5 star. And Andrew, I bet you $1,000 I'm going to win this. Scout's Honor, I have not looked at any of the reviews. Do you accept this bet?
Don't.
You know, I don't think I can. I don't have $1,000 to give you.
Andrew, I will. What is it, the thing that they give each other? Like,
I give you an IOU?
An IOU?
Yeah, I will take your IOU on the guard that you are a gentleman and will live by it if you will accept my IOU.
Okay, yeah,
this
sure.
This is so sweet.
We're betting IOUs, I guess.
We're betting sheets of paper.
No money will ever be exchanged.
Luck be a lady tonight.
Indeed. All right. Who wants to go first? I'll let you two hash it out.
I'll go first.
Oh.
Andrew can go first.
All right, Andrew.
Jess can go first.
God damn it.
All right, Andrew. I'm committing to the bit.
Luck be a lady tonight.
All right, All right. Single-handedly set my standard for romance at the age of 7.
What?
Your standard for romance is you don't want to marry your fiance of 14 years?
I'm concerned about this user.
We're going to say that's a 5. Then,
that is
like, come on.
Correct.
Good job, Andrew.
All right, Jess, are you ready?
I am.
Gazoon type. That's it.
That's a 5. They're quoting the movie. Yeah, Frank Sinatra says that every couple of minutes, like, gazoon tight.
All right. Andrew.
Yes?
Watching Marlon Brando dance and sing is a whole different experience, though. I can tell you that.
All right, Mumbles. One. That's got to be a one.
That is a one.
Nice.
I was like, a lot of these reviews are just how hot Marlon Brando is in this movie, and I have not seen it, but I don't believe it.
He's a lot of things in that movie. Hot is not one of them.
People are horny for this man.
Hold
Guys,
on.
Hot
I
or
feel...
not, Marlon Brando.
Marlon Brando, tell if he's hot.
Not. Hold on. I need to find a clip to see. I get it. Let me just say, I get it, but I don't find it hot.
And yet before this evening is over, you might give me the brush. You might forget your manners. You might refuse to stay. And so the best that I can do is pray. Luck be a lady tonight. Luck be a lady tonight. Luck, if you've ever been a lady to begin with, luck be a lady tonight.
God, he is awful.
Yeah, he's not. He does not sound good. Yeah, I don't see why Peekly is hot.
Yeah.
I could see it.
Yeah. I mean, the suit looks good, but the hairline is a lot.
I mean, he looks like young Don Corleone, so I just see it as like a prequel to The Godfather.
Guys, let us know on Twitter if he's
let
hot.
Let us know. Is Marlon Brando hot?
Yeah, is Marlon Brando hot? Check yes or no.
We'll make a poll when this video will come. When this
podcast
comes out.
Jess, remember to make a poll.
Yeah, no, just make a poll on Twitter.
Thing.
Oh, true. All right.
Because Spotify now encourages like people to make polls and like leave comments on Spotify. I find it fascinating. Either way. All right. Yes.
All right, Jess. Fight Club. Gambling Edition. They misspelled addition to be the math term, so I keep saying addiction when I read it.
Well, no, because there's so many more people adding up their gambling debts.
Yeah, so Fight Club Gambling Edition.
That's a five, because they were trying to make a joke.
That's correct. All right, Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
It's a musical.
Yeah, that's the hardest one so far.
I wish I'd saved the spit take for that one.
I feel like that's a one star. Like, people don't like musicals.
Ah, fuck.
They like
people do like musicals. God damn it.
All right.
That's Andrew's entire experience with this show, is discovering that people do indeed like musicals.
People do like.
God damn it.
Jess.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, gangsters cannot use contractions.
I don't understand that.
Apparently, they don't speak in contractions. That's what a lot of the reviews say.
All right, that's a one, I guess.
That is a one. Andrew.
Yep.
Watch with a lukewarm Miller Lite and an air-fried slice of pizza that had been sitting out for at least 9 hours.
You know, you're going to die, sir or yeah. ma'am.
Is this advice? Is this advice or is this what they did?
This is what they did during Guys and Dolls.
Now he's got to be a guy who's dead.
I'm going to be honest. That sounds like a great fucking meal. A lukewarm Miller Lite with an air-fried slice of pizza that's been sitting out
like
for 48 hours.
I like a lukewarm Miller Lite, so that does sound nice.
That's the type of meal where you sit down and you're like, yep. That's a five.
That is a five.
See, I just had a feeling. Yep. Yep.
That feeling is pizza rotting in your tummy.
It ain't rotting, okay? We recooked it.
We recooked it.
That's not how that works.
It killed the germs.
We killed all the germs. We cooked all the germs off of it, Jess.
Yeah, air fryers kill germs.
You gotta boil your pizza before reheating.
Jess, I blew on it, okay?
Oh, well, I didn't know you blew on it. Oh, I didn't want to make you go goblin mode on me.
All right. Jess, cannot get over Sarah ordering milk. Like, that's a normal thing to do.
That's a one.
That's a one.
Sarah is great in the movie. I love Sarah as a character. There's so much to play with there. Like, Adelaide and Sarah are such fun roles to play because you can play both extremes so much in it.
Yeah. Andrew.
Yeah?
Young Brando proving a hairline isn't everything.
Ooh. I feel like that has to be a one star because the only selling point of this movie is how hot Marlon Brando is.
That is correct. Well, the other selling point is Frank Sinatra, but that's a given. So.
Frank Sinatra's not hot. Okay?
No, he's not.
Just throwing it out there.
Do you think Frank Sinatra's hot? Let us know on Spotify.
Depending. Old Sinatra, a fox. Do you think he's really Ronan Farrow's father?
I think he's a lot of people's fathers.
I think he's had many a child that he didn't know about.
Yeah, but Ronan Farrow does not look like Woody Allen. He does look a lot like Frank Sinatra, though.
But does the daughter? No, the daughter's adopted. Fuck, my argument is lost.
Ah! Which daughter? The daughter-wife?
The daughter that got abused.
Oh, the other one, yeah.
Yeah, the daughter who is a very, very cool person.
Yeah, yeah. I that's an adopted child, yes.
Yeah, I watched the documentary.
Are we talking about Woody Allen now?
No.
God. There is
canceled.
A Woody Allen musical. Should I bring that? Should we talk about that one day?
No.
We're you know who starred as Woody Allen in that musical?
Woody Allen.
Zach Braff. Who is the most Woody Allen-like actor currently working, in my opinion?
No,
Yeah, I'm not saying that's a good thing.
Yeah. We're already broaching things with our next topic, which features some actors who are deeply problematic now, so...
Tom Cruise?
Yes, Tom Cruise.
We're finally talking about the Mission Impossible.
Finally talking about Tom Cruise.
Mary J. Blige?
No, she's great. Shut up.
Oh yeah, ever. Oh, don't make that joke. Okay, move on.
I'm an Umbrella Academy stan. I fucking love her. Who's the last person that went? We got talking about Woody Allen. Let's do the plot.
I think we need to pick a winner. I think it's time to pick a winner.
Yeah, I think who
you're tied. You're tied.
One more tiebreaker.
That cannot possibly be right.
Wait. I didn't get one wrong yet.
Oh wait.
I got like two wrong, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, Jesse, one by one. But
I'm better than you,
let's
Andrew.
Let's do one more anyway to see if Andrew could tie it up for fun.
Okay.
God damn it. Tic-tac-toe, a winner over here.
Alright. This is a real 50-50 shot. So.
Okay.
And you can't just say one or five. You have to buzz in and then say it.
Okay.
How do we buzz in?
I don't know, just make a buzz sound.
Say buzz.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Here's the review. Uh-oh.
Buzz.
Jess.
Five.
No, that's wrong. It's a one. Andrew, you win. I mean, you tie.
Yay.
Dang, I'm the best.
Now we both
get... I didn't even do anything.
Now you both get an IOU.
Yay.
Jess, I owe you $1,000.
I owe you $1,000, Andrew.
The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Hey guys, sorry to interrupt you in the middle of the show, but we've got a shill at you. Today's show is brought to you by the extremely kind donations by our donors over at Patreon. Patreon's this awesome possum place where you can get a bunch of perks from us, including a completely different podcast with me and Liz, where we're talking about Has Been a Hotel, as well as commentaries with me and Andrew on Angels in the Outfield, the Barbie, Princess and the Pauper, a couple of Glee episodes. We got to do more Glee episodes. That'd be really fun.
We have to do Angels in the Infield. That Angels in the Outfield one was a banger.
You guys have to do the sequels, and I have to come in for the sequels.
Yes, yeah. I there are so many Glee episodes I do want to talk about. Like for those in the know, imagine Andrew's reaction to Shooting Star.
Look, I'm gonna just pull a branch out there as a Glee fan. Not even Glee fans like Shooting Star.
I know, it's such a fucking wild episode.
They literally sing more than words to a cat who they think is going to murder the universe, and then there's a freaking thing that happens.
Don't you dare spoil that.
I am spoiling the cat thing.
You can spoil the cat
more
thing.
More than words.
Is all you have to do.
What band is that? Quick.
Extreme.
Oh, you knew it. Nice.
I didn't. You could have held a gun to my head.
My boyfriend's a music nerd. I know too much shit.
You could have like beat me with a hammer. That word would have never come out of my mouth.
Great song.
Speaking of words coming out of my mouth, our current patrons are Melissa Goldman, Danielle Renix, Justice Stampede, Ewan Cassidy, Monica Thoreau, Brent Black, Lathaniel, Stacey Coombe, Joseph Evans Green, Mary Lou Choquette, John Vanals, Russ Walker, Musical Hell, Emily Gracie, Kyle Summers, Janae C., Scoot in the Technicolor Dreamcoat, Nothing Is Certain Except Beth and Taxes, Thesbian, Mitchell Young, Chai Teacup, Chris Marcote, Kiji Marie Anastasio, Trevi Joseph, RJ Nariga, Julia McLennan, Bjorn Hermans, Toriana Frazier, Sammy the Adequate Amount Jacobson, Kaylee Blazier, our Villainous Miss, Sofiana Lee, The Omega Geek, Paige Pearson, Maddie Wargle, Elisa Erdman, Anna Loskatova, Sarah Den Bleckier, Evan Ball, Zachary Torres, Rora Morasso, Mara Forloin, Lisa L., Possessed Washing Machine, Nick Roten, Puffy Boy, Sydney Hicks, Anna Beal, Billy Clifton, Gold-Plated Kikimora, Julia Balsderdaughter, Hot Mutt Butt, Emma Sabella Stang, and Grace. Thank you all for supporting us and getting all those cool, fun perks. Also, monthly, we do a Patreon meetup, and hopefully we can do one soon. I gotta get with you guys about doing another one of those, hopefully for April. So yeah, let's get that one on the calendar and get that one going. But in the meantime, let us get back to the show.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com and, of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
Okay, there's so many good songs in this show, but also, what can we say about them aside from it's really, really good? I guess the one I want to start with is the one I've been fucking simping for this entire episode. Adelaide's Lament is fucking incredible. I love this song only because there's so very few songs like it, and almost every musical theater actress that you've loved has done a cover of it. My favorite being Jessie Mueller. Her rendition of this always just brings a smile to my face because I know how she sounds, and she puts on the voice so specifically, so clearly, and she somehow makes it sound like she has a cold while singing it. It is a ridiculous, goofy song about reading a pill prescription, really, at the end of the day.
You keep going.
It's just about like how I'm an engaged woman, and because of that, I get physically ill.
So, does every cover of this, does everyone who does it do, like, the Betty Boop voice?
Yes, it is part of the character at a certain point.
It's interesting that they have this character that is like this in a 50s show. I feel like this would usually be a song they'd give to, like, a guy who's, like, being silly.
Like, and it's, like, perfect for, like, you know, Jane Krakowski and folks like that. It's the song that I knew best before actually watching this show. I know that's a lot to say with so many kind of, you know, with so many very, very famous songs. But, like, just go through YouTube and watch different covers of it. And, like, there's so many of them. Like, Betsy Wolf also does an incredible one. Like, it's it shows like your range, it slows your comedic timing, and it shows your acting ability all in one song. It is a tour de force, and every time I watch it, I get a little happier. So I can never ever hate a rendition of Guys and Dolls unless as long as the Adelaide's good.
Well, that's the most important character for you.
Yes, the truly. Adelaide.
Ridiculous, but yes. But then you also have like the Guys and Dolls song, which is just fine. I've heard it before. It's fine.
That's what's happening all over. Love is the thing that has licked him. And it looks like Nathan's just another victim. Yes, sir, when you see a guy reach for stars in the sky, you can bet that he's doing it for some doll. When you spot a John waiting out in the rain, chances are he's insane, as only a John can be for a Jane. When you meet a gent paying all kinds of rent for a flat that could flatten a Taj Mahal, call it sad, call it funny, but it's better than even money. That guy's only doing it for some doll.
It's a good title song, I think. Yeah. It's like catchy enough, and they do like a, I believe they do like a dance break on this one.
Yeah,
yeah.
So it's a good title song that like will keep it in people's heads. It's nothing to write home about, though.
Yeah, understood about. Whereas a song where in for Sarah, which I think also shows range and a lot of things to do, is If I Were a Bell. It's a very funny number. It's a very tour de force number in every way that Adelaide's Lament is. And it's for a character that you see eventually lose their mind throughout the rest of the show.
You know, I'm thinking about it. The two guy characters who are kind of the actual like main, like we follow them for the most part.
Point of view.
They don't really have any numbers like this. Like,
no.
Like solo, big solo numbers. They give those to the female leads, which I think is nice.
It's cool. Cool. It's
it allows them to, I would guess that in some versions of this, they probably cast more like comedic actors as the two like male leads.
Yes. And something I meant to bring up earlier, but failed to, is in 2013, 20th Century Fox was attempting to do another film adaptation of Guys and Dolls starring, like, who would you cast, Andrew, before I tell you who they wanted?
Oh, boy.
This is 2013, remember that.
Oh, yes. 2013. See, I don't even know actors 2013.
Who was hot in 2013?
Get Jack Black in here.
He'd actually be a good Nathan Detroit,
sick.
Though.
I would watch the shit out of that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think that'd be fun. I don't know who would play Sky. I'm not really, and I definitely don't know any actresses from that era.
There were no actresses considered. So who they wanted was Joseph Gordon-Levitt as Nathan Detroit and Channing Tatum as Sky.
Those feel like bizarre choices to me, but maybe?
I'd be like, I know Joseph Gordon-Levitt is at his heart a song and dance man. He's just that kind of guy. But I was dubious.
I can maybe understand him more than the other.
I did until I saw, I don't know if you've seen Hail Caesar.
Oh, yeah.
No.
I love Hail Caesar.
Channing Tatum's little dance about no dames in this is great.
I think when you're watching Anything Goes, when I first saw it, I was like, this reminds me of No Dames from Hail Caesar.
But I can see it working, you know? He seems like a very sincere performer. Part of me's a little disappointed that didn't happen, because that sounds kind of cool.
When the smell of the rain-washed pavement comes up clean and fresh and cold, and the street lamp light fills a gutter with gold, that's my time of day. My time of day. And you're the only doll I've ever wanted to share it with me. Obadiah.
Obadiah, what's that?
Obadiah Masterson, that's my real name. You're the first person I ever told it to.
Sky does have like my favorite song in this show that I love outside of this show more than like as a pop song. Like I'm sure we all have those in this. It is actually cut from the movie, but I just like this song and it's My Time of Day. Sky sings it and it ends act one. It's just such a pretty song about how nighttime is great and I like it.
This is the one where he's up at like 4 a.m., right? And he's asking her how she feels about it. Yeah, I kind of like this one too. Mostly because I feel the same way. I'm just like, yeah, it is. It's fucking great being up super late. I don't know. I love it. I don't get to do it as much anymore because I have to wake up so early for work.
Yeah, same.
We should all just quit our jobs and start hosting craps games.
It doesn't seem very profitable considering you couldn't afford
a
$1,000
expense. I went to Atlantic City recently and I lost at least $20. So
no dames.
Well, you don't play craps. You host the game.
Yes.
Yeah.
The house always wins.
The house always wins. Yeah. We just need to come together and then host this. Then we'll be rich.
And then we have a bunch of people with IBS who seriously misunderstood our advertising.
Yeah, luck be a lady.
A lady wouldn't flirt with strangers. She'd have a heart. She'd have a soul. A lady wouldn't make little snake eyes at me when I bet my life on this roll. So let's keep the party polite.
So let's keep the party polite.
Never get out of my sight.
Never get out of my sight.
Stick with me, baby. I'm the fellow you came in with. Luck be a lady.
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 Yeah, I just like the song. It's fun. I mean,
if you've ever seen a Vegas montage, you've heard the song.
You've heard this song. It's a very popular song. The context in the show is funny just because it is when he's gambling to get them to go to church, which is just really bizarre.
I'm on the
but page, it's a fun song.
I'm on the page for Luck Be a Lady. There is a cover that Dee Snider performed as a duet with Clay Aiken in 2012.
Luck be a lady tonight.
The pickings have been lush, and yet before the evening is over, you might get me the brush.
Dee Snider
did a duet with
Twisted
Clay
Sister
Aiken. Yes, Twisted Sisters.
This is
Dee Snider.
This does not make any sense.
He did a whole Broadway album. Okay, you guys keep talking. I'm gonna look into this.
Wait, Dee Snider did a Broadway album?
Yeah,
we need to talk about this.
Dee Does Broadway.
This is no longer a Guys and Dolls episode. This is Dee Snider Broadway
this
album.
Dee Snider podcast. Okay.
No. Okay. This is we had to touch on this. Dee Snider Broadway. We have to go back to this eventually.
I'll just give you some selections
what
from this
songs
album.
Did he do?
He did Cabaret.
That's the easy one.
He did The Ballad of Sweeney Todd.
That's a weird one.
He did Big Spender with Cyndi Lauper.
Oh, okay. That sounds cool.
He did I Get a Kick Out of You.
Oh, nice.
Whatever
nice.
Lola Wants, Lola Gets with B.B. Newworth.
That's a get. That's neat.
Music of the Night with Mark Wood. I don't know who that is.
Nope.
But Wikipedia page.
Nope.
The Joint is Jumpin' with Jesse Blaze Snider. Mac the Knife.
Where does Patti LuPone come in? Because I see Patti LuPone's name at the top of the album.
Oh, I'm not done yet. There is Nothing Like a Dame with a couple people. Razzle Dazzle. And then Tonight/Somewhere with Patti LuPone.
That sounds terrible in my head. Not gonna lie.
Off. It's not on Spotify. I hate to break it.
How do we talk about this, Andrew? Like, what do we... Oh, that was weird. Do better, Dee Snider. Sue Me, great song. Nathan Lane performs it good. Sit Down, You Rock in the Boat, probably one of the most iconic Broadway songs ever.
I dreamed last night I got on the boat to heaven, and by some chance I had brought my dice along. And there I stood, and I hollered, someone fade me. But the passengers, they knew right from wrong. For the people all said, sit down, you're rocking the boat.
People all said, sit down, you're rocking the boat.
And the devil will drag you under by the sharp lapel of your checkered coat. Sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down.
Sit down, you're rocking the boat.
I sailed away on that little boat to heaven, and by some chance found a bottle in my fist. And there I stood, nicely passing out the whiskey, but the passengers were bound to resist. For the people all said, beware,
all said, you're all right.
People all said, beware,
all said, beware, beware,
you'll scuttle the ship, and the devil will drag you under. By the fans of time, on your wicked throat,
sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down, you're rocking the boat.
Like, if you've seen It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, you've seen Sit Down, You're Rocking the Boat. You know, these songs are fucking everywhere.
Yeah, can I go off on a song, though?
Yeah.
Can I go off on Marry the Man Today real quick?
Mm-hmm. Why not? Why not what? Marry the man today. Trouble though he may be. Much as he likes to play, crazy and wild and free, marry the man today, rather than sigh in sorrow, marry the man today and change his ways tomorrow. Marry the man today,
marry the man today.
Maybe he's leaving town,
maybe he's leaving town.
Don't let him get away,
don't let him get away.
Hurry and track him down,
track him and marry the man today. Give him the girlish laughter.
Give him your hand today and save the fist for after.
Slowly introduce him to the better things. Respectable, conservative, and clean.
Okay, I don't hate this song. I just like, I'm not going to go on a huge rant here because it's a stupid
sexism
song
bad.
And it's meant to be a joke. But continuing to perpetuate this idea that if you marry a toxic man, you can fix him later is gross to me. In this context, I'm less offended by it because it's a comic musical. But just like, come on. Just don't marry a toxic man. Just like,
can
break
I marry
up
a toxic
with him.
Woman?
Yeah, marry a toxic woman. Or get him to therapy or some shit. Just like, marrying the man won't fix him. Having a baby won't fix him.
Women, don't get married to men.
Just
get married.
Just become lesbians. This is the solution. Or bisexuals. Like, don't marry a man.
I don't endorse this. Political lesbianism is cringe.
You know what? Get married to non-binary people.
True, even better.
That's fine.
Yeah,
I do endorse that. That's fine.
I endorse marrying non-binary people.
But what if you marry a toxic non-binary person?
Ooh,
I don't endorse that. That's not fun.
They'll actually go to therapy, so then that'll be fine.
Oh, you're right.
The problem is men don't go to therapy. If you marry a toxic woman, she'll go to therapy. If you marry a toxic non-binary person, they'll go to therapy. Toxic man will think therapy is above them.
Do you know how many of my very good friends within the last year broke up with their spouse and their ex-spouse then immediately went to therapy and became better? And they resent them so much that they didn't do that for their entire relationship?
Oh, God.
Man, maybe I should go to therapy. Speaking of going to therapy, what is our overall thoughts on Guys and Dolls and our cheese rating? Andrew, start us off.
I actually thought Guys and Dolls was pretty fun. It's a very chill watch. There's not too many characters, so it's very easy to kind of pick everybody out and follow the story. And there's a lot of songs that are recognizable. There's a lot of songs that are catchy, and there's a lot of good like danceable songs and fun dance numbers, and it's a classic musical for a reason, I think. And this is one where it doesn't drag, which a lot of these classic musicals sometimes that does tend to happen. But this one, it is breezy, it's easy, and it's cheesy, and that's good. Geez, as far as a cheese rating, I don't have one ready. I gotta think about it for a second.
All right, Liz.
This show, it's a fun show. It's a classic. Like, it's funny. It's ridiculous. It's very, like, absurd Italian, which I love. And having, like, the two female leads have, like, actual funny songs is kind of rare for these. So it was enjoyable to see that. And yeah, I like it a lot. The names are stupid. The accents are bad, but it doesn't take away from the fun at all. So I enjoyed it. I'm going to give this grana cheese, which is a mature cheese that's Italian. So, yeah.
I like this show. I think that a professional production is kind of passe, not to be that guy. I really think that the best way to watch this is amateur production, locally with kids having a great time and, you know, having a good amount of time enjoying each other. So I am giving this Niagara Gold Cheese, because when they get to that chain to Niagara and she hears the church bells chime, the compartment is air conditioned and the mood sublime because they started Niagara. All right, Liz, you got a cheese yet?
Oh, I had a cheese. Andrew didn't have
sorry.
Cheese.
Andrew didn't have cheese.
I'm going to give it a New Jersey cheesesteak.
It's basically a Philly cheesesteak by proxy, depending on where you are. Yeah.
Yes, but we're going to say it's on the Jersey
yeah,
side.
Yeah, it's valid. Valid.
Mm-hmm. You know who else is on the Jersey side? Our wonderful listeners. Thank you guys for listening. Please follow us on iTunes and Spotify, Musicals with Cheese. We're on Twitter at Cheesy Musicals. We're on Patreon at Musicals with Cheese. Our keeper of the cheese is Juliet Antonio. Here's some ASMR for Juliet. Juliet, you were also the one that told us to do this many times, so this one's for you. Be a lady. This show is edited by Andrew DeWolf, and he's doing a fantabulous job. Our Instagram is Musicals with Cheese, YouTube page Musicals with Cheese, Patreon only podcast, Patreon Cheese, Haspen Hotel. Email us at musicaltheaterlives@gmail.com. Leave a response on our Spotify thing, because apparently that's something you can do now. You can leave comments and we can reply to polls. So tell us what you thought of the episode and whatnot there. We look at those and we'll read them on the podcast if you leave a comment. Thank you to the Broadway Podcast Network for having us on the platform and for not kicking us off this week for, you know, tic-tac-toe. I don't know. Anything else we have left to say, kids?
I gotta go get married real quick, so I'll see you guys later.
Oh, Andrew and I are getting married, too. It's gonna be a double wedding. Like
oh, that's
always
so cute.
Goddamn, the
are you
old ball
Marie?
And chain.
Yeah, just get married, Andrew. It'll solve everything.
Yeah.
We'll see you next week on Musicals with Cheese. Then they get off Saratoga for the 14th time. A person can develop la grip, la post nasal drip with the wheezes and the sneezes and a sinus that's really a pip from the lack of community property and a feeling she's getting too old. A person can develop a bad cold. That's you.